Hello, welcome to another episode of Ray's Music Reviews.
Starring Ray.
Surprisingly.
The eponymous Ray.
And?
Writer, producer, designer.
I have not produced anything. I have not designed anything. I have not.
Character.
I have literally not done a single thing.
Artist. Auteur.
First of all, that's not true. You picked the album and you wrote the question, so.
That's producing, baby.
Yeah, what do you think producing is?
Welcome to the business. All right, what are we talking about this week?
We're talking about Californication by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Indie band.
Indie band. We've only done indie bands here, you know. Guns N' Roses, Prince.
Probably never heard of them.
What's crazy is there was a time.
I mean,
for all of these bands, when they were indie bands.
Can you imagine seeing young Prince in a bar or whatever?
Dude.
Unreal.
Yeah.
How?
Yeah, and what's funny
too is see him and not immediately be like, okay, that guy's it.
Yeah.
That guy's it.
Well, he walks out there in late 70s, early 80s in high heels.
Like a blouse.
Fishnet.
Oh, yeah.
Blouse. Garter.
Yes.
Thong.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can't see it, but thong.
Trench coat. No shirt.
Yes.
Tie.
Yes.
Let's go.
All right.
Okay, now, what were we saying, Ray?
Red Hot Chili Peppers, Californication.
Mm-hmm.
What do we want to get into right now?
Should I ask questions?
Yes, that was the cue.
You're supposed to be the producer here.
How do you feel about the opening track?
Around the World.
It's okay. I don't have a whole... I like the weird... ding dang dong thing they do at the end, and I like the little story that it had behind it where that was just their kind of placeholder
mm-hmm.
thing, and when they were playing it his daughter or whatever was like, oh, I like the ding dang dongs,
right?
So they put it back in the last bit,
right?
I get that part stuck in my head more than any other part.
It's good. I like it very much.
I think
classic Chili Pepper sounding song.
The da na 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 thing was a great way to open it.
High energy.
I think I liked Flea screaming. I think that was Flea.
I just like that he's named Flea more than anything.
Well, and you know what, too? If you want to talk about album openers, right? The story of this record, I assume, is they do One Hot Minute. It's a different guitarist, Dave Navarro from Jane's Addiction. It's not as well received as some of the other things they have done. They're not really the Chili Peppers anymore. They go back and get Fischetta. He comes in, and the first song we have, the first time you listen to this reincarnation of the original thing, is an actual Chili Pepper sounding song.
Very much.
And like you said, it begins with Flea reminding you of who we were in the first place. Right? So to me, it's a very good opener.
Yeah.
Okay, so then how do we feel about the closing track?
Road Tripping.
Track 15.
No drums on this track.
It was fun.
I thought it was...
Chad Smith got tired after recording 14 tracks and left the studio.
quite a bit on this album. I thought I liked the kind of more contemplative nature of it. I thought it fit well as the ending track to it.
I thought it fit well as, I'm guessing, this entire point of this album is the love-hate relationship with California, as they say every song is about California. I think its melancholy nature helps the ending of the album.
That's interesting that you say that. I don't love this song.
You don't love this song?
I
don't love it.
I don't necessarily think it needed to be there. But your point about, to me, the Chili Peppers are the quintessential California band of since the Beast Boys, since they came on the scene. Guns N' Roses is from California. I don't think of California when I hear them. I think of Sunset Strip. There are other bands that, I guess the Eagles were at one point in that California rock sound that took over the airwaves with other bands. But once the Chili Peppers came on the scene, I can hear ska, I can hear funk, I can hear rap, I can hear rock, I can hear punk. I can feel them listening to and creating music on the way to the beach. I can see them at bonfires.
Yes.
The whole thing, you know what I mean? The whole aesthetic of California is Chili Peppers. You know what I mean? And I get where you're coming from. And also where the content of the album, again, we're reminding you who we are, right? So what are we talking about? We're talking about who we are, yes. Where we're from. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Your favorite and least favorite tracks on the album?
My favorite song, Other Side. Parallel Universe 2. I like how huge Parallel Universe was.
What do you like about Other Side?
Other Side, I mostly like the story it tells. I also do really like the vocal harmonies that Flea does. So of course, I gotta mention Scar Tissue.
One of their biggest hits.
Probably their biggest ballad. No, what? Under the Bridge is a thing.
It is a thing.
Probably their second biggest ballad.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say I Like Dirt sounds great. You?
I Like Dirt was my favorite song.
Do you want to talk about it?
It has, like, it's just funky, man.
It is.
It's real funky. And it's like, what is it about?
It's like, it's Perfect Chili Peppers. It's like if funk was a punk band.
Very much so.
You know what I mean?
I like that vibe way more.
That's literally, yeah, like all they did in their Blood Sugar Sex Magik days.
Yeah. But you're going to say that what's your least favorite?
I guess I go Purple Stain.
Purple Stain for me as well. Yeah, Purple Stain.
Okay. I would say Road Trippin' is my least favorite track.
That's fair.
On it.
Yeah.
And it just... To me,
I apologize if I'm too far away from the microphone at any point.
But to me, how do I put it? Once I got to track 15,
this album's too long.
I didn't need that at the end. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I'd already heard that a couple of times by the time I got to that, and so. But anyway, it. How did we feel about the production and mixing on this record?
This was probably my big problem with the album. I did not like the whole loudness war issue that it had.
Can you tell me what that means?
You remember what everyone was getting angry about when Death Magnetic came out? Everyone was talking bad about the production. That's kind of what I'm talking about here. It's very... look it up. It's very difficult. I can't... If I explained it all right here, we'd be here for like an hour. And it's
really...
Was it
just that they were mixing it to be as loud as possible? Is that like an element of it?
That's
what it sounds like.
Oh, it's like what Oasis did with What's Story, Morning Glory. That was kind of the first...
It's just loud.
Thing. Yeah, it's just loud.
It's to be very loud.
Yeah, that's basically... It sometimes the audio clips.
Yeah, it doesn't help. I don't think it helps this album at all, because it really starts to blend together at a certain point.
It doesn't allow for nuances.
No. Up to Californication, I'm barely able to, like, tell you what songs there are, because they just all blended together for me. Because
right.
It's just loud, and I couldn't hear the minute differences. It was just, like, I just felt like I wasn't getting any detail when I was listening to it.
But that's, like, pretty much my only real big problem with it, and maybe it's a little bloated. But
by little, do you mean a lot?
I mean, some of the great albums are bloated.
That's probably going to be those two are my major issues with the album, is that it is straight up bloated.
Yeah, but also some of the great albums are Beatles' White Album.
But this album ain't great.
Literally before
I agree.
Before we videoed, you said this album's great.
Wait.
So
no.
What is the truth? We'll
He's
get there.
Lying.
No. There is a great album inside of this album.
Oh yeah.
There is a great album inside of this album.
Yeah.
You go to Around the World. I like Parallel Universe. I like Scar Tissue. I like Other Side. I like Get on Top. I like Californication. Right there. You in that album right there. You give me an EP, I'm singing and dancing. This is incredible.
You're out the gate.
If I bought this in a tape format or a vinyl format, that's side one. I'm thinking when I flip it over to side two, I'm getting the greatest thing to ever live. right? I mean, maybe not the greatest, but you get where I'm coming from. This is great up until, like you said, what did you, didn't you just say Californication?
Yeah, basically up until Californication, yeah.
And then it just starts to, it ain't as great. That's all. And now I Like Dirt is down there a little bit further. Now you could have put I Like Dirt at the end, give me two of those other songs, and this is a great album.
But stuff like Emmett, Remus, stuff like that.
Porcelain.
Porcelain. I don't know. Porcelain is good. I think fits at least with the vibe of it, because it's about someone who's like messed up on drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't know. Because this goes wildly back and forth sometimes, like too much.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of like what it's talking about in its song. And stuff like Purple Stain. Why is this on this album?
Right. Right. Now, I'm one of those guys too, though. It's funny that we say that, because I'm one of those guys, I don't necessarily hold it against you if you give me every bit of material you have. Because I don't mind sifting through it and just not listening to what I don't like.
Yeah.
But if I'm going to judge it as an album, that is different from saying, I appreciate you giving me all that you have. I appreciate them giving me everything in their thing. But if you want me to rank it as an album, I have to rank...
It's part of the album.
All 15 songs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can't just give you... one. And like you said, like you both hit on, the production doesn't allow for the nuances, and the nuances are what make music great. Right?
And that, I guess that's why I kind of like, I Like Dirt a lot. It's because I could kind of hear it.
Right. Right. Exactly. You could hear the individuals. You could hear what the guitar is doing and what the bass is doing and what the drums are doing and what Anthony's doing. What did you think about Anthony's performance on this?
That's a singer, right?
Yes, yeah. Anthony Kiedis.
I don't know a whole lot about...
Okay, yeah, he's a singer.
I read a little bit about him and, like, his experiences in the past, especially the song relating to his father and all that, so I do know a little bit about him. But his performance on this album, I felt almost a little grating by the end. Again, I think the album was just too long, where it just kind of everything ran its course. You know?
I don't think there was really anybody else who would fit this album more than Anthony.
Oh, only he can sing for them.
No, yeah.
Like, you can't. It wouldn't be the Chili. Like, he's really irreplaceable.
His voice is an instrument of the band.
For better or worse. You know? And he is a bit of a lightning rod. There are people who, not as a human, like, I think most people either feel bad for him or don't, you know what I mean? Or love him very much, but there's not, like, negativity in his direction on that. But I do think that there are people who don't like the Chili Peppers. It's funny because when I work around younger people, a lot of them are like, all of it just sounds the same. And it's weird because when I was coming up, the whole point of the Chili Peppers was they were different from everything else.
I mean, I feel that heavily in some of these albums where I'm just like, man, I feel like I've just heard this done in a way I liked better.
Even by them.
Oh, yeah, even by them, where it's just like, I don't know. It's kind of an issue looking back, because at the time it was like, oh, it was different and revolutionary, and it was like this really cool mix of like funk and punk.
Right.
And it's awesome, but like, I've heard other things that were like it that I liked better.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I've heard other things by them that I like better. And like we said, I like the first. Like, I heard it better in this album. You know, I heard it better three songs up.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's, I like the record. I just don't like all of the record. You know, which I think is a fair thing to say. Anything else we got on this?
Not.
We could rate it.
Really?
Well, we're going to rate it.
Oh, okay, that's fair. No, I didn't have any other, like, major... I pretty much already aired my grievances.
Flea's a bit of a monster.
Yeah.
He's quite a player. Right.
I actually do want to point out the bass and drums are very good.
Actually,
there's a reason why you know their names.
Actually, a funny story. When we were doing the Red Hot Chili Peppers versus Primus thing, and you were talking about, oh, Les Claypool is a great bassist, I was about to say, and Flea's not.
Huh. Very true.
Develop point.
Very true. How would we rate this album?
Six. Feeling an eight.
An eight? Pretty good.
I mean, it's a little bloated, but...
I mean, I personally just don't like it a whole lot.
You gave it 6.
You gave it 6, yeah. I mean, it's good, and it's just, there's just major problems with it for me.
I think I'll split the difference. I think I'll go with a 7. Because, like I said, if we end
actually, hold up.
Go ahead.
I think I'm going to switch to a 7, too.
All right, I'm switching to a 5.
Okay, well then, I'm going to split the difference and go 6 here.
No, I'm going to keep it at a 6.
Okay, then I'll go back 7.
All right, cool.
Wait, what?
Right. As we wrap up talk about this album, it reminded, you know, you said it was a great album. It's funny because when you told me
I said it is a very important album.
No, you said I said it was a great album. I'm going to piggyback off of that you because really liked it. The neat thing about this was I hadn't listened to the Peppers in a while except for whatever comes on whenever, which is not that much lately. And I put it in and I'm like, man, you know, first couple of notes, I'm like, man, I really miss the Chili Peppers. And we got to about song 6, like we said, and I'm like, man, this is really good. I mean, this is awesome. And I think that was the first day. And he was like, dude, what'd you think? I'm like, man, I freaking love them. But then I got to track 8, 9, 10. Then I'm like, how many tracks are on this record? Right? So that's kind of what we've been saying the whole time.
I will say something about this record, though. It did make me want to listen to By the Way and their earlier stuff a lot more.
Right.
Yeah, it did make me want to listen to By the Way and Blood Sugar Sex and One Hot Minute a little more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, now we're going to go into
battles.
What have you got, Ray?
This one is one dad recommended to the podcast, Muse versus Coldplay. Dad.
Muse.
All for Muse, say aye.
Aye. I stand alone.
All for Coldplay, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Now,
I just like Muse.
I'll say something a little more just general. I like Coldplay's more melancholy nature a little more, but I would not have chose this. All right. After we did the bands I've never listened to a song from, right?
Right.
And I said Muse. And Muse was the one band that I really dove into. And I really liked all of their Origin of Cemetery up into... What was the... Symmetry. Sorry. Up until...
What was it?
The one before The Resistance.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about, though.
And it's crazy to me because the 2010s were absolutely abysmal for that band.
Yeah, their earlier stuff's, like, way better.
Just... Three straight albums of just
missing the mark by a bit.
Three straight albums of what are you doing? And Coldplay, they didn't have the best 2010, but they didn't have an awful 2010. It was their 2010 was But I do think that 2010s thing is what kind of edged the bar a little bit.
Why did you come to Muse?
I just like Muse way more. Like, I like what I've heard from Coldplay, but it never, like, stood out to me in any sense. Muse is kind of not exactly anyone like them. You know what I mean?
They're their own thing.
Yeah. Especially, again, I've mostly listened to their earlier stuff.
Did Radiohead just not exist anymore? they're heavily influenced. They're influenced by Radiohead the same way Oasis are influenced by the Beatles.
Yeah, that's true. I do see that.
I'm not, because that's kind of a joke everyone makes, but...
Chris Martin's dreamy.
It's true.
Have you seen that video?
That's totally valid.
Have you seen the video of the dude videoing Chris Martin, and Chris Martin absolutely floors him and takes his camera?
He's dreamy, though.
Dreamy and violent.
Because paparazzi are dumb anyway, so it's just... And you just got floored by Chris Martin on
heavy
camera.
On the pop. Get it? Because he hit him?
All right.
What's next?
Foo Fighters versus Queens of the Stone Age. Now, I thought of this one because they're kind of the first bands. Foo Fighters is the first band most people think of when they think of rock, and Queens of the Stone Age are the first band I think of when I think of rock. I could literally not qualify Queens of the Stone Age as anything but straight up rock.
What do you mean by rock?
Rock is too nebulous of a genre for me to think about any, like, one band without being like, oh, it's punk rock or hard rock.
Do you mean, like, modern rock music?
Or modern rocker.
Okay. True. If you said modern rock, like, I would think of Foo Fighters.
Well, think about it. The only band you ever see at the Grammys is the Foo Fighters. They don't do it. Yeah. No other band, rock band, gets mainstream. Like, they had Metallica on when they went digging for a band the other day.
Yeah.
That's not a young... Okay. No. It's the Foo Fighters.
Queens of Stone Age is the one band who I do not classify as anything but rock.
I like it.
And I like Queens of the Stone Age.
All for Foo Fighters, say aye. Yes! All for Queens of Stone Age, say aye.
Aye.
They're just better.
Yeah.
Less material, though.
Do they have less material?
Queens of Stone Age?
They don't have a very big discography.
How much does Foo Fighters have? Because I thought Foo Fighters only had like three albums.
No, they have a lot more than three. I only know
about three of them.
They have a lot more than three.
Queens of the Stone Age is just like
one. Two, I love that guy's voice.
Six. Seven, oh, dude, eight, that's nine, great. Ten.
Dude, he's great. He's got a band called. He did an album with Dave, right? David Grohl. John Paul Jones,
yeah, and him. Dave was literally a drummer for him.
They did Them Crooked Vultures. Bro. Yes. So good. It's better than both bands.
I would not say that, but...
I'd say Songs for the Deaf is better than anything in Foo Fighters' discography, though.
Right. But to me, you know what the Foo Fighters are to me?
Yeah.
The Foo Fighters are like the gateway drug to people who want to listen to rock music.
It's true.
You put your toe in the water... Temperature's good, go swimming. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Like, I know, especially, there's a whole generation out there that the Foo Fighters are their freaking Beatles, dude.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, so just because we like Queensryche more, hey.
Queensryche?
I said Queensryche. Which we do.
No.
Queensryche is way better than those bands.
No.
Get out of here.
Rock they might operas. Be a better live band.
They're building empires.
They might be a better live band, but that's not saying much since...
Silent Stupidity? Nobody's got a song
lead
like
singer,
that.
Since the lead singer of Queens of the Stone
Thank
Age...
Thank God.
The lead singer of Queens of the Stone Age literally kicked the camera of a cameraman or camerawoman and knocked him out.
So? Jeff Tate spit on his drummer.
He cut himself bleeding on the stage.
Dreamy. Violence is dreamy, baby.
The Cure versus the Smiths. This is a popular one I've been seeing resonating within the internet.
I can't believe that there's an argument. Go ahead.
All for the Smiths, say aye. All for the Cure, say aye.
Aye.
The
Cure are great.
Cure are great.
They do all that stuff that you're supposed to do. It's a little bit of rock, a little bit of Pink Floyd, a little bit of dance music, a little bit of darkness. It's great.
It's great. It's true emo, or what? Goth emo.
It
whatever.
It is. It is the evolution. It is emo. The beginning. It is the root of the tree.
I
the goth tree.
Yes, it all springs out.
Weeping willow.
Yeah, the weeping willow. Yes, perfect. I love it.
So we just hate the Smiths here. We just despise them.
I don't like Morrissey much.
Oh, Morrissey's.
But I will say this. The Smiths had their moment, and it was, you know, it was a thing.
Yeah.
But the Cure had their moment and kept their moment going a little longer.
the Cure just kind of better.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to finish on a classic. The Beatles versus the Rolling Stones. Which is, you know, it's just kind of etched in history. All for the Beatles, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
All for the Stones, say aye.
Aye.
I'm not even like that big of a fan of the Beatles, but I just think that the breadth of their work is
I've kind of I'm sorry, but
that's just the factor for me. It's just
The Beatles are just even though I said this, I never really got this comparison saying that the Beatles are kind of on a different level.
I get it, dude. The Beatles are even the genesis of the Stones. You know what I mean? Like they're
The Stones are one of the best bands in the world, ever.
Well, and the Beatles are kind of sort of the same age as Stones, and actually.
Here's the thing: the Beatles probably are the best band to do anything. You know, just through a pure influential
It's weird to talk about the Beatles in like a comparison like this, because they are such a influential group and a so heavily mythologized group, where it's like they're almost more than a band. That it's weird to be like, you know what I mean?
You don't think the Rolling Stones are more than a band?
Well, not at the same level that people talk about the Beatles. People love the Stones. People, I mean, the Lips and all that, they're everywhere. It is ubiquitous in that same kind of way, but people do... I grew up hearing people talk about the Beatles like they were gods.
You know I get what it. I mean? Yeah.
And I just don't really
you get
think...
You get points for dying.
That's true. It's true.
Okay.
You say that, but it's true.
Dude, don't think it ain't true. Don't think it ain't true.
John Lennon was still alive today, people would hate him because he wasn't a good person.
Correct.
It's crazy how we
But they're like, oh, that dude was talking about peace and he beat his wife and stuff. He's terrible.
Right. Well, that dude. And here's, exactly. The Me Too movement and all that would have gone back and looked at who that guy was if he was still breathing and been like, hold on, you can't consider him that, you know. And I get that people are more complicated than whatever, and I don't know for a fact what all happened. But
he just seemed like a jerk in general.
Dude, did you see that?
What came out of his mouth and his behavior tend to be always in alignment with one
another. There was a spoken word album he did with Yoko Ono called The Wedding Album.
I don't even have a problem with Yoko Ono, in all honesty. I don't see nothing wrong. She makes her own weird art. That's fine. That's cool.
They're both kind of annoying.
They were both hypocritical jerks, but like, you know.
This got into a whole
what happens when you mythologize people and you put them on giant pedestals. It ends up being weird.
And two, if you look at things through the prism of history, like if you start going into most of these artists' lives,
if you put Paul McCartney up there, you're gonna be like, whoa, this guy made temporary secretary. He attempted murder. That's just
it's true. But the
80s were not kind to either of these bands, except for Tattoo You.
But
that is an exception.
My point though with all of that is that I think because the Stones stuck a little bit to the blueprint more than the Beatles did, like the Beatles get this huge bonus points for that. The Beatles were writing their own music before the Stones. The Stones were kind of a cover band early on of old Mississippi Delta blues music and things like that. And then they began to write their own stuff. But dude, first of all, personal preference has to matter when you're talking about things like this.
Yeah.
And I just would flat rather listen to the Stones talk about things, because one group of guys wore a white hat, one group of guys wore a black hat, and I enjoyed the black hat more.
Totally fair.
You know what I mean?
And yeah, I get that. I just, even
and
if
no
I
guitarist
do.
In the Beatles was ever Mick Taylor. You know, and Keith's better than any guitarist in the Beatles as well. You know what I mean? And it just, and don't sit
they
there and tell me John, don't tell me John Lennon and Paul McCartney are better than Mick Jagger, because you know that ain't true, and you can ask both of them.
Better than Ringo.
If you stood on John's grave and said you were better than Mick Jagger at your job, John would rise up out of the grave and tell you you're wrong and go right back down in his hole. That's what would happen.
No, I agree.
You know what's funny? That Yesterday movie that came out, they CGI'd John Lennon as alive. Imagine how fuming Paul McCartney was.
It was like, dude,
I'm
still
alive.
Right.
Why would you resurrect John? I'm literally alive.
I'm here.
And dude, Paul does seem like a great guy. Like, I saw Paul and Ringo, which is why I'm 100% sure he knows that Mick's better than him. But I saw him on Ringo's birthday party. He finished up the show and he did. Dude, he could still sing, could still play. Really amazing for a guy his age, you know? I mean, but Mick's still amazing for a guy anybody's age. But we won't get into all of that. What, you got anything else, buddy? Who's the best man? Who's the best front man in rock and roll right now? Oh, Mick Jagger. How long has he been that way? Since 66?
He's best say about 50 years.
I mean, and we have a question I came up with. I thought this one was really good, just personally. you know, I mean, I'm kind of really good at like everything, so like I'm kind of like the best, you know.
That's why you're the producer, baby.
If you're gonna put something over, let it be yourself.
Yes. try to insult me. That's not gonna work for me, brother.
The Doors versus Cream.
Let there be greatness on earth, and let it begin with me.
Yes.
What now?
The Doors versus Cream.
All right.
All for the Doors. Say I. Oof. Ow. I kind of want to stand up for the Doors now. I'll go Cream. All for Cream, say aye.
Aye.
I do not know enough about Cream.
I mean, White Room's pretty much as close to perfect as you can get.
Well, Cream is...
I hear it's good over some coffee.
It's great, and it's a great Wu-Tang Clan song, as you referenced earlier. But you had a super group that was created with Jack Bruce, Ginger Baker, and Eric Clapton.
Might be the best super group ever.
Probably the best trio.
Well,
it, at playing their instruments. We'll say that. Like ZZ Top has a huge discography. Things like that, right?
But Rush was a trio, though.
Dude, that's close. That, you know?
Yeah, they're close.
You got
a
point. Because people sleep on how good Alex is at playing guitar in Rush, and he's amazing. But Clapton's God, so it's...
Like, yeah, Clapton, it's kind of like...
And he's... Okay, but...
I don't really...
There is no virtuoso in the Doors.
That's fair.
There just isn't.
Do you think their music is better, though?
No.
Do you even like the Doors?
I really like the Doors.
Yeah.
A great deal.
Yeah.
I don't want to act like I'm shooting on the Doors. Yeah. But dude, Jim was a poet and weird. And as we've said before, it hurts. People get points for dying. And Jim passes away at 27, and we assume he was going to continue on the trajectory. What do we know about every career we can talk about other than the Stones? The albums get worse.
Yes.
Other than the Stones.
Other than the Stones, baby.
Unless the Stones
keep rolling. No Moss.
The Beatles did one good thing,
We're talking about, like, David Bowie's 90s catalog, in which case, like...
You're right. Bowie's in that category. The Beatles were smart, and they quit putting out albums.
And
they splintered off.
And died.
Yeah. And by the way, I kind of want to point this out, because I doubt a lot of people would know this. But when I was ragging on Prince's 90s stuff, I was just joking around. I was just trying to make Dad angry. I was like that.
I see. It's all good. Putting yourself over. Okay,
it's all good.
Like, because David Bowie was the one with the awful 90s career.
But the thing is about the Doors is, do they have songs that I absolutely enjoy? Of course.
Riders on the Storm.
An organ being in the middle of... And when I say they're not virtuosos, that's not... completely fair.
That's not saying they're bad.
It's comparing them to
Cream.
These three guys.
Eric Clapton, who is God.
Yeah, right. Ginger Baker. Okay. But they're really good, and they can get into a pocket and really, really do well behind Jim. And he was amazing at getting. He was amazing at being the focal point of what was going on, and he's telling these long stories, and it's very good. But you're comparing a very good band who is important to rock to somebody that should be on one of those mountaintops with the Beatles and the Stones, and you know, that's what I mean.
Yeah. It's kind of like I'm a real big Cream fan, but I think like most people, not most people, but a lot of people are. Like, I don't really think there's anyone that outright hates Cream. But if you do hate Cream, please tell us in the comments.
I think if you know Cream, you like it.
Yeah.
Much like if you tried Cream in your coffee, you enjoy it. If you haven't, then you still think black is better. Black coffee's better. I drink my coffee black, but it's because I like to try to prove I'm tough to myself by drinking something that I hate every day.
Yes.
I challenge myself every morning to choke down this nasty cup of coffee.
Oh, just terrible. People say they drink black coffee. I'm like, oh my God, do you hate yourself?
When I was a little kid, a friend of mine's dad, Ted, he said to us, can we drink coffee? And he'd be like, only if you can drink it black. Because if you can't drink it black, you're not old enough to drink it. And so for my entire life, I have tried to prove to myself I'm old enough to drink coffee. So pathetic. Okay, go ahead, Ray. I'm sorry.
We are still on our quest to find a band worse than System of a Down in Dad's eyes. Of course, now we are going to go with the world-renowned punching bag of music, Nickelback.
Nickelback versus System of a Down. All for Nickelback.
All for Nickelback, say aye.
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 Absolutely.
Dude. System of a Down wins clean again, unanimous vote. Strike it down. One further down the list. Come back next week, we'll knock it one further.
Okay. I think Mike's calling you.
Is that a wrap?
Yeah, I think that's a wrap. Yeah, unless you want to do more battles.
No, let's wrap it up. Let's save it. We got to save something for the future.
Dude, we got to save.
Got to think about the long-term future.
Right. That's we're going to be doing this for years.
That's what the producer needs to do.
That's what you call, in the biz, that's what you call a tease. Yes. That was good. Okay, next week we will be doing hyperpop.
No, we would not, no.
Well,
80s funk.
Yes.
Emo.
Stuff.
What we are doing is Ray?
We are doing a little new thing called Fixing Musical Blind Spots, where we will listen to an album.
Or playlists.
An album and a playlist. And we basically say our feelings on it and if we like this album or not.
Mm-hmm.
If we absolutely despise this album, think it's the worst thing ever created, and we think and it should be just erased from the face of humanity. That is what's at stake here.
It's eternal damnation is at stake here.
For an entire musical genre.
For an entire genre.
Based on 10 songs from each genre.
Based on... Yes.
I like it.
Based on 10 songs in one album.
Better not put any System of a Down songs in there.
Well, that's not the genre, right?
Immediately.
That's not the genre.
The genre is bad.
Hyperpop written down, 80s funk, and emo. I don't have sucks.
Yeah.
If we had a sucks genre... We would put System of the Down in there,
yes.
And you would be able to evaluate it.
That's true. That's, you know, you're right. Anyway,
I can't wait until...
The genre that I'm bringing to the table for this is hyperpop, and I'll probably explain a little next week about it. What Kev is bringing to the table is...
80s funk.
And what I am bringing to the table is emo and pop punk. Basically, the entire playlist is literally just filled with MCR and...
I mean, that's the big emo band.
Some people say that they're not emo. You know, that they're not real emo. And it's weird because they're literally the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of emo.
What would you consider real emo? Like, mindless self-indulgence? Like, at what point is the line drawn?
like...
If you want to talk about music that sucks, mindless self-indulgence. Anyway, moving on.
Hey, can we wrap this?
Yeah, let's wrap this.
Hey, real quick, you said there's a new album out today on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, The Microphones evidently.
The new microphone.
You guys are fans.
I love The Microphones. I think Phil Elverum is the bomb, whether he be in The Microphones or as Mount Erie. He is one of the best songwriters, like structurally setting up a song with the music and the lyrics of this generation. I think he is just incredible.
Awesome.
So check out this new Microphones album. Check out some old Microphones albums. Check out some Mount Erie. Listen to It Was Hot, We Stayed in the Water. Listen to The Glow Part 2, which was my favorite album for like 6 years and is still like number two for me.
Wow.
So good. So good.
All right.
That album got me through some tough times, brother.
Oh. Means something.
It means something, dog.
That's what I'm talking about. Ray.
I actually don't know a lot about The Microphones. I've just heard their name a lot. And I've listened to some of The Glow Part 2, but I haven't really finished it yet.
So it did not get you through the times?
No, not yet.
No, not yet. And also, I haven't...
You haven't really stacked up the bad times yet?
Not yet, no.
You will. Don't worry. I guess that's a wrap for the show.
Well, especially if you try to convince yourself to drink black coffee every morning. Right, correct. I will say that will not help your chances.
Correct. So it's in the dark times. We have to get rid of it. Yeah.
Correct. This has been a...
I had to listen to the microphones just to get through them.
My morning coffee.
Right. This has been a Ray's Musical Review. This has been a Ray's
Musical Review. Signing out.
Copyright 2020. Thank you.